Welcome aboard, gang. It's another issue of Tube Talk. Friends, Little Orphan Annie. What a cute little song. A nice way to start the program. That's the Coon Sanders Nighthawks. Joe Sanders with the vocal from December of 1928. Welcome to Tube Talk, folks. This is the program for the antique electronics enthusiast, the vintage music lover, and the person still looking for sanity on the broadcast band.
What price happiness, what price happiness? Who can truthfully say? But for every share, with tears we pay. Love is happiness, I've had happiness. Ah, but it ended one day. Now I look at life a different way. When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Until that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Say
castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day, say? Just remember that sunshine always follows the rain. And wrap your troubles in dreams. Dream your troubles away. When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. Whistle and dream your cares away. Until that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Whistle and dream your cares away. Your castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day, say? Just remember, sunshine always follows the rain. Whistle and dream your cares.
Anyone care to guess the vocalist on that one, friends, huh? Didn't quite sound like the Bing Crosby we came to know and love. That's Bing Crosby, Wrap Your Troubles in Your Dreams, with Gus Arnheim's orchestra, Harry Lillis Crosby. And I got to tell you, you know, in 1931, you would hope the sun was going to come out, and you probably did have lots of troubles to wrap up in your dreams. This is Tube Talk. I am your host, Paul Burish. Hey, thanks for all the email, gang. I appreciate everyone's concern for the humble host. And as they say, the stories of my demise are very accurate. No, the stories of my demise, they're not very much grounded in any reality right now, because we're back here. We're doing the show. We're here every Friday night, WRCA, 1330 AM. Streaming on the WRCA 1330 AM website. And you know, radio grew up in the 30s, and you know, we often talk about stories from the Depression, and as generation after generation drops off the planet here, it gets harder and harder to talk to folks who actually lived through the Depression. And I have a collection of stories here. Memories of days gone by. Here's an interesting little quip. I'll read a few of these tonight, and we'll just kind of see where this all goes. We'll play some music from the period as well. You know, people wonder, just how tough was it? Well, here's a story. Short one, so don't worry. Riding the Rails and Locusts. That sounds like a movie, something from the 50s probably, huh? There was an explosion of young displaced men riding the rails in pursuit of jobs. Any jobs. Even if only for board. They couldn't eat at Dad's table, there wasn't enough to go around, and there were younger ones to feed. The drought had just about destroyed Dad. He had a bit of marsh hay until the day the locusts came. You could hear them coming, like the core of a frightening storm, a steady, ominous hum getting louder and louder. We all ran for the cattle and put them in the barn. We took the dog inside, too. One horse got wild and ran away, and the locusts ate out his eyes. My dad drove 20 miles north on 64, sliding on the road of mashed grasshoppers to give the alarm. They set a wide backfire and got a lot of them. But nothing was left. These things were 3 inches long and even damaged the potatoes, turnips, and carrots in the ground. They were a thick and heavy coat where they slammed against the barn. It left us with nothing. It hurt me to see Dad so utterly defeated and crushed. And folks, that's why they called it the Depression. A friend, Jean Gaultquette, a 1927 classic, My Pretty Girl. Just a little bit pre-depression there, and I hope you enjoy some of our stories tonight. We'll mix in a little music as well. Here's a little story for you to kind of set the scene of where things were at in the 30s by Mrs. H., Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Clothes came from wherever we could get them, as older rags that were big enough to get pieces from were hard to find. Our undertaker in town used to bring us clothes that people would get rid of when other people died. We made blankets and whatever we could out of the material that was usable. We also raised a couple of pigs for winter sausage. When we look back at these times, I feel they were the best times of our lives because we had to work things out ourselves as a family and made our own amusement. Interesting recollection. And that's Wayne King from 1936 with Josephine, a little pick-me-up in 1936. Yeah, this particular vignette here struck me, and perhaps it's one of those, I kind of put myself in this boxcar, and I'm going to read this so you can get a feeling for what I mean when I say boxcar, and just try to relive a little bit of the panic that these guys felt. And it's one of those things, you know, it doesn't sound like much now, but if you were there and you were trapped, it'd probably be something to scare the daylights out of you. And again, it's, you know, a story that was probably repeated again and again and again in the 30s. And you say, why all this talk about the 30s and the Depression? Radio grew up in the 30s. Midget sets came out in the 30s. Many of the great syndicated programs that we still listen to, you know, the transcription discs and the tapes and the CDs that have been made from, all started in the 30s. In the 30s, radio was the bomb that solved, you know, America's bad feelings. And believe me, there were plenty of them. And at the end of a long day, if you were fortunate enough to have a farm set, if you were out in the rural areas and hadn't gotten that highline power in yet, or if you lived in the city and it just worked a 12, 14, 16-hour day, you could sit down for a little while, listen to some music, maybe a show, get a chuckle. What an investment, that collection of tubes and wood and metal and stuff in the back that you didn't quite understand was for you. So this is a little story entitled Searching. It talks about a guy looking for work, basically. Hundreds of thousands of young men roam the country on trains in search of something, anything, food, an hour of work, a purpose to live, and they couldn't go home. There wasn't enough to eat. These young men went through very rough times. The real hobos didn't turn them away, but gave them a tin can full of whatever they had cooked up. The young men donated to the hobos anything they could find or buy for a penny or a treasured nickel. It was food for an empty stomach. In 1937 Depression years, there was still no work. I decided to go to my Uncle George's place in North Dakota to see if there was work to be had. He was in the business of buying scrap iron and buffalo and cattle bones. I helped him out for my room and board a while, but he had a family to provide for, and feeling I was a burden on him, I decided to go further west for work. I boarded a Great Northern freight train in Minot, North Dakota, heading west. The railroads frowned on young men riding the freight cars, but during the Great Depression, the government ordered the railroads to allow men to ride, mainly to keep the unemployed moving, so they wouldn't congregate in one place. There were 15 of us riding in this Great Northern boxcar. It was getting late in the evening, and we were well into Montana. It was late spring, March or April, and it was starting to get cold. We had the sliding door on one side of the boxcar closed, while the sliding door on the other side was open about a foot. All at once, the train gave a jerk and the open door slammed shut, locking us inside the boxcar. We all got up and tried to pry the door open, but as try as we couldn't get it open. The other one was locked shut as well. It was very dark, and we couldn't really see what we were doing. One man had a flashlight, but the batteries were so low we had little or no light at all. I was scared, and so was everyone else. We thought there was a possibility the boxcar would be left on a siding somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and we didn't know if we could ever get out. Some of us started to panic. One man who had claustrophobia started running around and yelling, "Get us out! Get us out!" Nothing can describe the panic we all felt. I was afraid it would turn into a madhouse if it wasn't stopped. I grabbed him and hit him in the jaw as hard as I could and knocked him unconscious. I knew we had to do something to get us out. I was wearing a pair of heavy work shoes with metal cleats on the heels. I took these off and gave one shoe to one guy and one shoe to another fellow, told them to pound on both doors until they were too tired, then give the shoes to the next two, pounding continuously in the hope of someone hearing us. All this time the freight was moving. It seemed like hours until the freight started slowing down and finally stopped. We were still pounding on the doors more vigorously than before. We finally heard footsteps out on the gravel, outside the boxcar, and then a brakeman opened the door. We were so relieved we yelled and cheered and couldn't get out of that boxcar fast enough. I almost jumped out without my shoes on when I realized we'd been using them on the doors. My travels continued. I went through Utah, Washington, Oregon, and California, only finding temporary work. One of the jobs was painting the beams on a toll bridge over the Columbia River. This was a scary job because it was 63 feet above the water, and to have fallen was sure death. I worked on a 12-inch wide plank. That's why the job was available. Not many willing to risk it in those days, but I worked there 2 days, and that was enough for me. When I ran out of what little earnings I did make from time to time, desperate for food, I'd go up to a house and ask for something to eat. People were polite and offered me what they could. Sometimes I was turned down, and other times they found work for me to do to earn my meal. Finally, when I couldn't find work available anywhere, I returned to Minnesota. Got a job for $3 a week, room and board included, working 16-hour days in a Village General store in Ferrara, Minnesota. And that was as told by Mr. A in Menominee, Wisconsin. True stories.
Wonderful, oh, it's wonderful to be in love with you. Beautiful, you're so beautiful, you haunt me all day through. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise, birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you, love you. Every little beat that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sigh tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you is joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true? Someone like you could love me, Louise. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you, I love you. Every little beat that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sigh tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you is joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true? Someone like you could love me, Louise. Hear you, it's joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true? Someone like you could love me, Louise.
Go ahead, Louise, give Maurice a little kiss. That's from 1929. Maurice Chevalier. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Yeah, not too bad, huh? Well, you know, leave a few of these tales of the Great Depression aside and, you know, just some stuff to think about, you know, this time of the year especially. And, you know, we think we have it bad, and some of us do. And, you know, hardship is nothing new in this nation, and what is new is the inventive ways that people have thought to overcome it. The American story. Well, you know, I need proper accreditation here. This is a top 10 list we have for you tonight. And give credit here to Bruce Phillips, president, as the Prez says, president of the New England Antique Radio Club. These are the top 10 ways you can find out if you have what we call in the radio hobby an issue. Number 10, you no longer park your car in the garage because there are more valuable things in it. Number 9, you have more than 7 chassis without a cabinet or a cabinet without chassis total. Number 8, you knock over one or more radios trying to get food out of your freezer. Number 7, you still watch a collectible black and white TV. And I know a few people who do. Number 6, you buy a second or third of a radio you already have because, well, it's a little nicer than the other one. And then, you know, you keep all of them. Number 5, when you want to play a little mood music, you do it on a reel-to-reel, a 78, or maybe even an 8-track player. Number 4, you have more than one radio in the bedroom that has to warm up before you can listen to it. Number 3, two people can't walk past each other in the path through your porch or basement. Number 2, some of your favorite console radios are stacked upon each other. Well, you know, I haven't seen that, but I'm sure someday I will. And ladies and gentlemen, number 1 way to tell if you have an old radio issue: on a monthly basis, you pay a storage facility to store more or we'll try that again. On a monthly basis, you pay a storage facility to store just part of your collection. And friends, we all have somebody that we know who has such an affliction. Certainly not I, because denial is an extremely strong reflex in my eye. And, you know, we've gotten some mail from time to time here about some of the musical selections on the program. And, yes, somebody has been missing from the show for a while. So let's shift gears here a little bit and welcome back old Andy, huh? Let's welcome him back, shall we? We missed you, Andy.
Guess there's no use in hanging round. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town. I'll find some crowded avenue, though it will be empty without you. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Call up some girl I used to know after I heard her say hello. Couldn't think of anything to say. Since you're gone, it happens every day. Can't get used to losing you.
You know, we don't want to lose old Andy Williams, so we'll have to keep him in the mix. He's been neglected here on Tube Talk, and I do have a loyal audience who asked me to play him. I'm sure they'll be asking me to play Holiday Williams comes soon. And keeping with the contemporary feel of the music at this time in the program, here's a little more up-to-date stuff.
This next song was written by my favorite poet, Johnny Mercer. I read once that his favorite song is It Had to Be You. So here's a present for Johnny. It's 3:15. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I've got a little story that you ought to know. It seems like dreams, like I've always had, could be, should be making me glad. Why am I blue? It's up to you to explain. I'm thinking maybe, baby, I'll go away. Someday, someway, maybe you'll come and say, yes, it's you that I need, and you'll be pleading in vain. It had to be you. It had to be. Wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be blue. Could make me true, and even be glad just to be sad, thinking of you. Some others I've seen. I'd never be mean. Might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. It had to. One for my baby, one more for the road that long.
Thanks a lot, Tony. I'm sure Johnny loved it. Don't you just love the sound of a piano on a fine radio? Ding Dong Daddy, that's Benny Goodman there, an RCA Victor recording, and well, you know, what else are you guys in the mood for tonight, huh? We could always go upstairs and listen to my Carpenters records. Oh, well, I guess not, huh? Okay, how about this?
Simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, I'm in the mood for love. Heaven is in your eyes, bright as the stars we're under. Oh, is it any wonder I'm in the mood for love? I stop to think of whether this little dream might fade. We put our hearts together, now we are one. I'm not afraid if there's a cloud above. If it should rain, forget it. I'm in the mood for love. stop to think of whether this little dream might fade. Oh, we've put our hearts together. Now we are one. I'm not afraid if there's a cloud above. If it should rain,
that's Francis Langford from 1935, and I'm in the mood for the Ink Spots. I don't know about you.
Is waiting for you will prove untrue, then what will you do? Maybe you'll sit and sigh, wishing that I
done. You know, I'd rather think about Doris Day. Maybe you could listen to it on your Philco Rough Rider radio in its genuine top grain cowhide case. A very 50s thing, you know.
Oh, honey, picture me upon your knee with tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends or relations vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone, dear. Day will break and I'll awake and start to bake a sugar cake for you to take, for all the boys to see.
For you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone.
Start to bake a sugar cake for you to take, for all the boys to see. We will raise a family, a boy for you and a girl for me. Oh, can't you see how happy we will be?
How happy we will be.
Thanks, Doris. Hey, I got a question for you folks out there. Do you picture me upon your knee? Because if you do, I'm deeply worried for you. I think you should stick with Doris Day.
Without number, darling, when I see as I love you. Are you my life to be, my dream come true? Or will this dream of mine fade out of sight like the moon growing dim on the rim of the hill in the chill still of the night?
That's Jack Leonard on the vocal, Tommy Dorsey from 1937. We hope you're enjoying our mix of monologue and our musical melange this evening. I'm Paul Burish. This is Tube Talk. You can reach us at tubetalk1@gmail.com. You can look at our website at tubetalkclassicradioshow.org. I'm having a fine time playing this classic music for you and your vintage receivers. I hope you're enjoying yourselves as well.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train, and there to meet me is my mama and papa. And down the road I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they've all come to meet me, arms are reached, smiling sweetly. It's so good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry, and there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walked with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Then I awake and look around me at these four gray walls that surround me, and I realize that I was only dreaming. For there's a garden, there's a sad old padre, arm in arm we'll walk at daybreak, when again I'll touch the green, green grass of home. There shade of that old oak tree as they lay me neath the green, green grass of home.
Porter Wagner from 1965. Almost time for us to go home, folks. Tune in next week. We'd love to see you again on Tube Talk.
That I can brag about, and yet to be up on his knee, so comfy and roomy, feels natural to me, and I really can't explain, it's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. Because he's wonderful, and because he's just my Bill. Because, well, I don't know. Because he's just my Bill.
Well, good night, Bill, and good night, gang. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.